Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice and independent streaming internet radio station, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma to around the world. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Thursday morning, August 14, 2008. It is now 6:32 a.m. Central Daylight Time in the good old USA. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. You are about to listen to an antidote to popular talk radio. Well, good morning, everyone. I'm sorry for that false start. I guess we started twice this morning. I actually turned off the wrong switch. I'm Joe Cristiano, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio. During our live broadcast, we invite you to call 646-652-4620 or email us anytime at comments@libertytalkradio.com. That's comments@libertytalkradio.com. If you are listening to a rebroadcast through our archives, you may also phone in your comments to 918-919-0101. I do encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, mytwocentsonline.com. That's mytwocentsonline.com, and that two is a numeric two. He discusses economic issues and how they affect you. Folks, things are kind of in a doldrum right now, the summer doldrums, and things are going to start heating up. Still, folks, remember, consumer debt's at an all-time high. Government debt's at an all-time high. Municipalities are starving for money. Many are going bankrupt and are actually discontinuing pensions. Things are not good cash-wise. People's real incomes have plummeted and have been going down now for the past 10 years. We are reaching a crisis point with our dollar. We're pumping much credit into our banking system to no avail. The banking system, in fact, is insolvent. We should be concerned that we should protect ourselves. Subscribe to Andy Sutton's website, to his subscription, to his free subscription, and it'll give you invaluable advice. It's the best newsletter out there, folks. And he also has a paid subscription, The Sensible Investor. It's only, I think, $49 a year. Well worth it. It's just worth the read, even if you're not going to invest, okay? Well, by the way, I would also like to remind our listeners to subscribe to our reminder service by visiting our website and clicking on the subscribe icon. We also have a map there now that you can indicate where you're listening from, and it won't put your name or anything up there, but it'll just put a little pin from where you're calling from. Okay, that's neat. And it's a visual depiction of our listener base, which I'd love to see. All right. Not many people have been using that. I wish you would. All right. We have been hearing, and probably, unfortunately, we have been listening to many comments by our elected officials and those who want to be president of the United States about all of the solutions that they have to energy, the energy crisis. There is no crisis, folks, not least now, and every other problem that we have. And I always find it amazing that we have politicians who we don't trust, don't like, we continue to vote into office, and yet we listen to them and we take what they say is gospel. It just boggles my mind that we would listen to these clowns and then criticize them, but believe them and then vote them back into office. There's got to be something absolutely wrong with that process. All right. Now, although this guy is not running for office, he is doing the same thing to us. He is concocting the same type of demagoguery that most of our elected officials perpetrate on us to alter our thinking, to influence us into thinking a certain way. Who am I talking about? Yes, you guessed it, T. Boone Pickens. And that's going to be the gist of our program this morning. Folks, I like to say this first. The biggest retort that I get from people saying, well, look, T. Boone Pickens says he's 80 years old. He has enough money to live on. I mean, he's worth billions of dollars. So he's not doing this for himself. He's doing this for the country. Now, folks, I buy that, you know, I don't buy that, in fact. I don't buy that at all. I want you to listen to this argument. We say that we can believe him because he has no vested interest. I mean, he's already a multi-billionaire. I mean, so what? So why would he be doing this? I mean, it's obviously not for the money. And the response to that is, yes, it is for the money. Let me explain why. When T. Boone Pickens was worth a paltry $100 million, now compared to today, that's nothing. That's a drop in the bucket. It is probably one-tenth of what he is worth today, all right? Just $100 million. I mean, that sounds like such a small sum. Like, how does he pay the rent on $100 million, right? When he was worth $100 million, wouldn't at that time he said, you know, I have enough money to live on. I don't have to work anymore. You know, there's no need for me to push on and push on and push on and make more and more money. Now, think about it. If someone gave you $100 million and the taxes are already paid for, $100 million, and let's assume you were 50 years old, right? And let's assume you live to a nice age of 85. Would that hold you pretty well? Would that pay the rent, provide you with decent food, and maybe a vacation every year? The interest alone on $100 million, if he was getting 5%, I think it's $5 million a year. $5 million a year in income in addition to the net worth of $100 million. My whole point of harping on this is that we seem to hedge or hang everything that he says based on the fact that he's worth $4 or $5 billion or whatever is billions of dollars. They say, well, he can't have any selfish motive because he has enough money to live on. Well, he had enough money to live on when he was worth $2 million. I mean, a relative pauper. He had enough money to live on. But yet, that $2 million turned to $4, turned to $8, bum, all the way down the line. $100 million turned to $250 million, $500 million. What happened when he was worth $500 million? They say, all right, that's enough, guys. I had it enough. Enough is enough. $500 million is more than I can handle. I ate the best food. I traveled around the world. Geez, at $5 million, that's $2.5 million. $500 million. At 10%, that's $25 million a year. I get an interest loan at 5%. Could you live on $25 million? That's $2 million a month. I mean, after you buy your fancy car and your fancy house paid for cash, you have a chauffeur, you have a maid, you have a butler, right? You go on vacation, you have a summer, all paid for, and that's the first month, by the way. What are you going to do then? Do you say, well, let's stop. Oh, that's enough is enough. What happened when he reached $500 million? Did he say, enough is enough. Please, I have too much money. No, he kept on going. He kept on going to the billions and billions. So the proposition that he gives us is that, listen, I've already made my money. I don't need money anymore. I'm worth billions of dollars. I think his net worth is a little over $4 billion, you know. Now, just look at the interest on that. Was it $200 million a year or something like that? And just interest at 5%, he probably makes 10%. You know, I mean, the numbers are astronomical. But my point being is he hasn't changed. People who have that type of money, or anyone who makes a lot of money, typically doesn't stop because they have a lot of money. Money is not the issue in that regard. It's winning the game that counts. Now, he's playing a game. He's playing a game, and he's playing a game with us. Now, what bothers me is the first thing he says is that we cannot drill ourselves out of this problem. In a sense, long term, he's absolutely correct. Because right now, for every new barrel that we pump out of the ground, new barrel, new find that we have, we're probably sucking up four. We're using four. I mean, mathematically, forget the numbers, folks. Forget the numbers like You know, we just found a reserve of $700 million. Well, in fact, they found a reserve, and they advertised this like it was a big deal. 700 million barrels of oil they found here off the United States, in the United States. 700 million barrels. Boy, isn't that great? Yeah. And our rate of consumption, that's less than 42 days. So understand that every time you hear, we're at 30 billion barrels of oil. Good. That's less than a year's supply. So we, in fact, have reached this peak of oil only because our consumption is increasing. Now, if it, at the current rate of consumption, we may have a way to go. But we keep on increasing our consumption every year worldwide by several percent. And I'm not sure what the percent is. It's somewhere between 2 and 7% that we keep on increasing our consumption. Well, if we keep on increasing our consumption at 7%, you know, in 10 years, we have doubled. If it's 7%, in 10 years, we have doubled the amount of our consumption. So instead of 30 billion barrels of oil a year, it's now 60 billion barrels of oil a year. There ain't enough oil around. And well, you could not find it fast enough. There probably is oil, but we cannot find it fast enough to get it out of the ground. So oil supplies will get tighter and tighter and tighter. Now understand, as oil supplies get tighter and tighter and tighter, governments who have the oil are going to become more restrictive, more authoritarian when it comes to that oil. They're going to dictate the terms. And it doesn't take much. It takes just a couple percent. It just takes an inkling that that oil may not be there next year. That's all you need. And it can bring the price of oil from what it is today, $116 a barrel, I think, this morning. It bring it to $250 a barrel in a heartbeat. So we need to eventually wean ourselves off oil. I mean, because eventually it's going to run out. I mean, it's we do not have infinite supplies. Every single civilization in the world who's relied on natural resources and squandered it has disappeared from the face of the earth. And we're no different, folks. Now, in that respect, T. Boone Pickens is correct. Here's where he's wrong. Very wrong. Right? He says, well, first of all, we can't drill ourselves out of it. Well, what we should do is continue to drill. And he does want us to continue to drill. He gives the impression that he doesn't want to drill anymore, that he's an economist. He's an ecologist. He's really concerned about the environment. No, he wants to continue drilling, and he wants to drill even more. He wants to drill, drill, drill. But he also wants to build wind farms and develop natural gas reserves and the natural gas pipelines around the United States. Now, here's the trick. You say, well, what's wrong with that? He's got $4 billion. Go, guy, go. As they say, go, girl, go, right? Well, no, he doesn't want to do that. If you listen to what he says, we can't drill ourselves out of this, but we can solve this problem with your help. Now our antennas should come up and go, wait a minute. What do you mean, my help? What do you mean by that? Well, what he means by that is tax subsidies. In other words, he wants to be subsidized. He wants to be subsidized, the government subsidies, for his business adventures, for his wind farms, for converting natural gas from using natural gas for electric generation, for car generation. In other words, he wants to develop this empire based on government subsidies, and we will pay for it, folks. Now I say, that you're not going to get my money for that. And now he is spending, they estimate, $58 million on an advertising campaign. That alone should bother the hell out of you, and it should bother the hell out of me, and it does. Because if he wanted to do this, he's worth $4 billion, build a freaking wind farm. Build it. But the reason why he doesn't build it is because it's not economically feasible. Now, how would it become economically feasible? Well, if we had a free market system and we allowed companies to drill where there is oil, where they suspect the oil, whether it be Shell Oil, which is a foreign company that has operations here in the United States, or Exxon, which is a U.S. company, or anyone else, to drill wherever they want to drill. Now, there may be some restrictions. You can't drill right next to a parking lot downtown because of the danger involved. I understand that. But there are still places, basically in cities, that we can drill and there's plenty of oil. and it's really close by, but we have, you know, restrictions all over every county, every city. It's the not in my backyard syndrome. We need to get rid of that, and we need to get rid of government oversight as to where we drill. If we drill out 2-3 miles out in the ocean, why the hell is the government saying, well, we're not going to provide you with a lease? They don't own that property. The government doesn't own any property. The government owns nothing. They should not own anything. We own it. So if someone goes out there and wants to invest literally tens of millions and sometimes hundreds of millions of dollars to put a platform out there to drill, hoping, by the way, that there's oil will come up because it's never guaranteed, and hoping that you get a return on investment, let them go. But there's no government subsidies there. I know the argument. They say, well, the government right now is giving the oil companies, you know, subsidies, blah, blah. Cut that subsidy crap out. I agree. Just cut it all out. I don't want anything. Let them go. Let them drill. Let them keep the profits. And stop this gibberish about excessive profits and, you know, and taking the profits and doing something with it. I mean, it's garbage. Now, here I'm going to go further on this thing. He says that there is $700 billion being spent overseas for oil. Those are his figures. I don't think that's correct. Aside from that, let's assume for a second, let's assume that he has no selfish motive. All right. Let's say he's all altruistic and he wants to do it for America. All right. He says there's a transfer of wealth of $700 billion a year. Now, that's bullcrap. That's garbage. There's no transfer of wealth. There would be a transfer of wealth if, in fact, we took our gold reserves, our silver reserves, our natural resource reserves, something worth value, something valuable, or even our printed money, which is becoming valueless, and we took that and we gave it to another country and we got nothing in return. The fact is that we're buying something with that. Now, what happens when we do that? All right? When we do that, we receive $700 billion worth of oil. Now, do we want oil in the United States? Do we want to be self-sufficient in oil? Hell no, we don't, because it's cheaper to buy from Saudi Arabia. If we relied on oil here alone, the price of gasoline would skyrocket because our oil is very expensive to extract. Very expensive to extract. We're going to have to do either tar sands, which is very expensive. We're going to have to go out on the continental shelf. Very, very expensive. And by the way, ANWR, yeah, we should drill in ANWR. But let's face it, ANWR would only give us less than a year's supply, less than a year's supply of oil. I mean, why build a pipeline for that and then have it rot? That's silly. Let's go where the oil is, where the long-term oil is. But this is what happens in a free market society. It's that invisible hand that Adam Smith used to talk about. And what happens is that as the price of oil increases, I'm getting off the subject. So this transfer of wealth is not a transfer. We are actually paying for goods and services, just like we do anything else. Now, what happens when we give them $700 billion or whatever the number is? We get $700 billion worth of oil, which makes us productive, which keeps our prices down, believe it or not. Now, I know what you're saying, the price of oil is up. Yes, but relative to what it would cost here alone, it is cheap, relative. Now, with that, we become productive. We make products. We enjoy life. We have a pretty good life here in the United States. Now, the people who have the $700 billion, what are they going to do? They have to buy stuff. And if we're smart enough, we would sell it to them. So there's an exchange taking place. In fact, I just read an article. Where is it? Here, let me see if I can find the article. Beep, beep, beep. Of course, I can never find the article when I need it. I need someone to help me out with my station. Anyway, exports have increased substantially. In other words, what's happening now is that countries like Saudi Arabia are buying things like our toilet paper. You know, and they're buying it to the tunes of hundreds of billions of dollars a year. There's no transfer of wealth there. They're giving us money back, petrodollars basically, back so that we can produce toilet paper and, you know, other consumer goods and selling it to Saudi Arabia. And there's an exchange. Now, we do have a deficit. That is true. We do have a deficit. But T-Boone's Pickens is not going to solve that problem. I mean, we're not going to. We're still going to have a deficit if the price of our products increases because the price of oil increases because people will buy it someplace else. So our exports will decrease. Folks, This is demagoguery. This is a sham, and we should be appalled by this thing. And yet he's spending $58 million going around the country, you know, trying to sell us on this damn thing. And understand that we are receiving something of value for that oil. Also, if we say that we should not, I mean, just the thought that we should not be purchasing oil overseas, we should be using our own, is contrary to the division of labor. And that's where prices go down. If Saudi Arabia has the best, the cheapest oil, we should buy everything, our oil from Saudi Arabia. But conversely, if we have certain manufacturing or technology or whatever, then they should buy from us, obviously. And then there's a free exchange. If we do what we do best, they do what they do best, fine. Now, one thing we have to do to enhance this situation is stop this, is dismantle this empire and stop poking our finger in everybody's eyes. Now, look at the situation in Georgia. We're sending 1,000 troops, but they're not troops. They're just advisors, you know, to a country which was included in the former Soviet Union, talking about ratcheting up, you know, the Cold War type thing, you know, ratcheting up World War III, our march to World War III. I mean, that's just stupid. Now, Georgia has pipelines. We shouldn't have anything to do with that. If we just minded our own business here at home, we would do just fine. There is not an economist in the world that would look at T. Boone Pickens' plan and say, this is a good deal for America. And neither should we. You see, when we buy oil from other countries, and then we in turn supply them with goods because they have the money to buy it, right? We have goods crossing borders, and that's what we want. When we stop trading with other countries, we don't have goods anymore crossing borders, we have soldiers crossing borders. And that is the most costly way to run a country. That runs every country, has run every country into utter bankruptcy. And I also take issue with his term that we must stop this America's addiction to oil. We have no addiction to oil. It's like saying, my listeners have an addiction to air. They keep on breathing it. You don't have an addiction to air. That is something that is needed to live. An addiction is something that's illegal and harmful. We use oil because it heats our homes. How could that be an addiction? It fuels our cars so we can go to work, so we can go on vacation, so we can enjoy ourselves. How is that an addiction? Now, you can argue that it is harmful to the environment, and that's why they call it an addiction. Well, folks, we're always going to have that. We all create pollution. I mean, there's an argument that anyone who bikes really creates pollution because you have to eat a lot of food in order to pedal that bike, and that food, you know, is used in agriculture. Agriculture uses, you know, fuel. I mean, you can draw this line any way you want. But in fact, we are energy users. We always will be until we are erased from the face of this earth. But as we use this oil, and oil becomes more expensive, naturally his wind farms and natural gas and hydrogen and all these other alternatives will become viable. But they'll do so in the natural free market society. We don't need to be taxed further to make T. Boone Pickens any richer than he already is. And don't fall for his garbage. He may be a good businessman. He may be an excellent con man. But he certainly is not a good economist. And he's conning us, folks. Because if, in fact, his program was economically worthwhile, he wouldn't have to spend $58 million trying to convince us. Now, what concerns me is that he is probably winning over the hearts and minds of the people in the United States. And why? Because we're stupid! We don't read. We don't think. We run on emotion. I really wish we'd get away from that. We're becoming a real dumb, ignorant nation. We sit by the boob tube, and whatever people say, we listen to. If Fox News says something, oh yeah, that's about it, you know? And we just repeat everything that we hear. We need to wake up to that fact, folks. And we need to wake up to the fact that Team Boo Pickens is doing something for very selfish motives. And that's our tax money to build his empire and no other reason. And it's not going to do a damn bit of good, because if he had all the wind farms in the world, will we get 1% or 2% of our energy? Unbelievable. I mean, this guy is a con artist, bar none. Great oil man, good con artist. This guy is not going to get my vote, I can tell you that. And I hope he doesn't get your votes either. Okay, this is the end of this morning's broadcast. We're going to broadcast again on Sunday evening. And this will be at 8 o'clock. I don't know what the subject will be. We may touch on the war in Georgia a little bit. Now, I'm not talking about Georgia on your mind. I'm talking about Georgia in the former Soviet Union. But I'm just not sure. If there is a subject that you'd like for me to touch on, please send me email to comments@libertytalkradio.com. And I'll be more than happy to do the research and do a program on it. I think that would be great. If my listeners would tell me what they want me to talk about, that would be really terrific. Okay, with that, this is the end of today's broadcast, and we'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you are either allowing your liberties to be taken away or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there's no middle ground. Folks, freedom is like riding a motorcycle. You feel free, liberated, your life is in your own hands. But with that freedom comes responsibility and risk. That's the free life. Folks, embrace it. Ron Paul has a sign on his desk that says, "Don't steal. The government hates competition." I love that. With that, until next time, I'm Joe Cristiano. This is Liberty Talk Radio. Stay well. Stay tuned.